Well, how are you? Are you out there? Or have you gone home? Okay, good enough. You're here. Now, let me just hear you pronounce this word for me. Are you ready? Shibboleth. Okay, just this side. Shibboleth. Okay, think about that word now. I'm just going to go over this story a little bit. And I'm going to build a foundation. Please be patient with me as I do. Let's go to Judges. Shibboleth. You know, we have so many different ways of saying things. And this shibboleth was a very important thing at the time of this story. Verse 5 here says in chapter 12 of Judges, the Gileadites seized the fords of the Jordan before the Ephraimites arrived. And when any Ephraimite who escaped said, let me cross over, the men of Gilead would say to him, are you an Ephraimite? If he said, no, then they would say to him, then say Shibboleth. And he would say, Shibboleth. For he could not pronounce it right. Then they would take him and kill him at the fords of the Jordan. And listen to this. There fell at that time 42,000 Ephraimites, simply because they couldn't say the word Shibboleth. Wow. 42,000 people got killed because they couldn't pronounce a word correctly. That's what it sounds like, doesn't it? There's a lot more to it than that. Oh, a lot too more. I want you to turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. Mark 14, and beginning at verse 66. And here it goes. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you were with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. The servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, this is one of them. But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it. But he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. And a second time the rooster crowed, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And when he thought about it, he wept. Shall we pray? Father, we want reality. We want truth. And no matter how painful that is, we need to know the truth. But Lord, the truth sets us free. And we can't get around any other way. There's no other way to heaven but through you, dear Lord Jesus. We can't sneak in. We can't bypass you. It has to be through you. And we have to know the password. We ask that you teach us this. Help us to be real. In Jesus' name, amen. Shibboleth. Now, how important is it that you be real and genuine and living and practicing what you preach. How important is it? Because you can only fake this for so long. You can only keep a secret so long. There are certain sins that are obvious, and there are certain sins that are hidden. But the Holy Spirit knows exactly who you are, what you're thinking, and you can't fool Him. Long, long ago, far, far away, in a kingdom far, far away, they were building a tower to heaven. They said, now, just so that God won't flood us again, let's build us a tower. Let's build it up higher and higher and higher so that we can have us a name. And everybody spoke the same language. And so they went to it and they started building this tower called Babel. And God came down, it said, and looked upon it, and He says, these people are united. These people, when they put their mind to it, they're all working together. I better do something about this. And so what did God do? He confounded their language. And He spread them out across the face of the earth. That got the nations of the world and the races of the world started. Everybody went off at their own little corner, did their own little thing, started their own little nations. And that was fine for a while, but then they started coming back together and trying to figure out a way to get back together, and they've been trying that ever since. In the time when Jesus came to the earth and He brought His message and He paid His price and His sacrifice for us, before He left, He said to the disciples, "Go tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And they went. And they prayed. And they prayed. And they prayed. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place with one accord. And there came a sound from heaven, like as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the place where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they went out and they began to preach the gospel in a new language that they did not understand. So God used tongues to separate people, and He used tongues to bring them back together again, because for His purposes, He wants us to declare His gospel by speech. We go and we declare the gospel to the world with our tongue. But we've got to be real. We can't be fake. We can't have the phony in our lives. We can't be in the world. We are, but we are not of the world. You cannot preach this message the way it needs to be preached and teach this message the way it should be taught unless you are real and genuine. Say shibboleth. Shibboleth. Did you say that correctly? Do I hear a shibboleth out there? Shibboleth. What did they say to Peter? Your speech betrays you. What you are, speak so loud that the world can't hear what you say. They're looking at your walk, not listening to your talk. They judge you by your actions every day. Don't believe you'll deceive by claiming what you've never known. They'll know you to be exactly what they see. They'll know by your works alone. You need to be real. You need to have the real thing. You can't fake it. You may fool some of the people some of the time, some of the people all of the time, but you never, ever, ever, ever fool God. Are you living the life today? Say Sibboleth. I said it wrong, didn't I? Did you catch that? Sibboleth. Are you real? Is Jesus real to you? He ought to be. He should be. If he's not, let's get it done. That's a good Southern saying. Let's get her done. Let's get Jesus real in our lives and let him transform us and make us real so that when we speak, it will be Sibboleth and not Sibboleth. Are you getting me? You understand what I'm saying? Peter said, I will die for you, Jesus. And Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the night's through. And he did. I don't even know the man. I don't know what you're talking about. And then when he realized, and you know, it was Jesus looking him in the eye at that specific moment, when Jesus looked him in the eye, that he realized, I'm not real. And you know, Jesus spoke to him later about it, and he said, when you are converted, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. There has to come a real conversion, a genuine conversion into your life. You need to become real. You need to be changed. You need to be born again. Nicodemus says, how can I enter again into my mother's womb? And Jesus said, no, the wind blows where it will. It goes wherever it and when you know that the wind is blowing, for you see the leaves, you see the sign of the wind. So it is that anybody that is born of the Spirit, it's a genuine thing. You see a genuine change in them. You cannot fake this. It will come out. It will come out. Let's look in James chapter 3. Book of James chapter 3. You know, James is one of my favorite books. He speaks to me over and over. Listen to this. Because what James is going to tell us here is that faith controls the tongue. Listen to me. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell, which is Gehenna, which means that's the garbage dump. The tongue is lit by the garbage dump. It's not talking about this fictional place that people dream up about people burning in hell. But it's that garbage dump fire that comes out of you that tells you, you know, and it stinks. It stinks. Sometimes that tongue can really defile us sometimes, can't it? Oh, yes. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. You know, you can say something to somebody and they may never recover from it. It cuts deep. If you want to hurt somebody, say sticks and stones will break my bones and names will never hurt me. Wrong. Some of the tying things that I've been said, that I have said to others, they'll never forget. And some things that have been said to me, I'll never forget. I can forgive, but the wounds are still there. Because life and death are in the power of the tongue. Oh, yes, it is, and I didn't read that yet. Full of deadly poison, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse man, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring can yield both salt water and fresh. Shibboleth. Shibboleth. Let's speak the truth. Let's control the tongue. Because as the lady said to Peter, your speech betrays you. And you know, the tongue is a fire. Let's let the Holy Spirit light that fire. If you've got to say something, they used to say, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. There should be a lot of silence in a lot of places. But we need to learn how to control that thing. Because it can do so much good. You can strengthen people. You can help them in their journey. You can inspire them. And you can speak this gospel with enthusiasm. Fire. It's a wonderful thing, this message that Jesus loves you. That Jesus loved you so much that while you were yet a sinner in the depths of your sin, cursing God, he died for you. He went to the cross. He bore your sins and he became sin for us. And he even allowed his Father to turn his back on him and take all that punishment for our sins. Before we were even born, he loved you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And we have this deadly, deathly disease called sin that will kill us if we don't get a cure. The only cure for sin is what Jesus has done for us. And when Jesus comes, we will be cured forever. We will be cured for eternity. We are suffering the effects of sin. We are dying daily. Our bodies are deteriorating. Every day I look in the mirror, I see more deterioration. I'm the only one that does, don't I? I didn't hear one amen. So you're all doing good, and I'm the only one rotting here. But nevertheless, Jesus died for that rotting old flesh so that one day when we are resurrected, or if he comes before we die, we'll be transformed into his likeness. He took the death that we deserved so we could live the life that he deserved. I love that. I love that. That's worth getting excited about. That's worth having some enthusiasm about being a Christian. That's worth telling to your neighbor, telling to your friend, living it in front of the world. I am not ashamed to be a Christian. I am not ashamed to talk to anyone, look them in the eye and say, I love you because Jesus loves you. And do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you don't, let me introduce him to you. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior, isn't he? Shibboleth. Let me hear you. Oh, you said it right. None of you die. 40,000, 42,000 died because they couldn't pronounce a word. Let's get it right. Let's get right. Let's be right. Let's do right. And let's get it done. Shall we? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you know the real and genuine from the fake and phony. And Father, I confess I've been fake and phony a lot of time. Well, just me, nobody else here. But Lord, I pray that you would help me to become more and more genuine, that your love, that your spirit, that your fire, your enthusiasm would catch here, and that we would begin to do the work that you have called us to do. Help us, Lord, to love one another more than we have ever loved each other before. Help us to bear one another's burdens. Help us to encourage one another, strengthen one another, and keep our eyes on the prize, your soon coming. In Jesus' name, amen.